You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let's pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It is often said that good things come in threes. I'll give you three examples. Godfather 1, 2, and 3. The ingredients of a BLT. Don't add or take away. Those three are perfect. As well as, here's your third example, the Tres Hombres, the three members of ZZ Top, including Episcopalian Billy Gibbons, the songwriter and lead singer of that group. You're welcome. There are lots of threes in today's gospel reading. You have, of course, the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and we know Joseph was around. You also have the three wise men, of course. Now, the text doesn't say that there were three. The text says there were three gifts. There could have been more or fewer wise men, but the tradition is that there were three. And this thing of threes also applies to the three sermons one must preach about this passage. There are three sermons that are typically preached. Not here, I'll mind you, but the one is, and they're great sermons, but they're sort of the standard things. The one is, what will you bring to the baby Jesus? You know, gold, frankincense, myrrh, or whatever. There's also the one about the fact that the wise men, being from Persia, from the east, from far away, they're outsiders, and so there's a message here about outsiders coming in. That is also great. There's also a sermon in there about sort of don't be a Herod, never want to be Herod, be a wise man, you know, be open to what God is doing as opposed to trying to shut it down. You are going to hear, however, something a little bit different. And bear with me, this is a little bit of a different tack for me. I want to talk about something that this text gives, but was a new insight as I was preparing, and I hope it is helpful to you because it is a new year. And what that means for many of you is that you have doubled down on your self-powered effort to make yourself better. And this is going to be the year. My friend Jake says this is going to be the year 2020 thrive. You know, he's finally going to get it all together. These efforts, based on your own power, I have found them to be often lacking. But as we come to that, I want to talk about a spiritual journey. Now, when I said spiritual journey, I internally rolled my own eyes at that phrase. Maybe you did too, because journey is one of those words that has become so overused and cliche. When someone talks about a spiritual journey, to me, I tend to think of Birkenstocks and glitter in California, and I just write it off. They didn't laugh at nine either. So the thing, though, you know, for someone like me, I tend to think that the only good journey is one where Steve Perry is singing. But if you are someone who is, but the thing I would say with this overused cliche term, journey, it's overused and cliche because it is actually true. We are people who are on a journey. We are people who are made in God's image, which is an indication that God is up to something. We are people who have a beginning and a middle. You're in it now. And there is a conclusion or a goal or an arrival. Those are the elements of a journey. And we are all on it. It's seen in the fact that you are here today. This journey began in Bethlehem. But this person of Jesus, his message began a journey for a lot of people. In fact, the early Christian community was called the Way. Or you could translate it, the journey, the path. All these get at the same idea. And that thing that God has been up to that involved your creation also involved you being here today. You know, everybody behind me had to be here. You, however, purely voluntary. Maybe some of you were brought here under duress. But most of you, even though you could be somewhere else, have chosen to be here, which is an indication that you are on some kind of journey related to things of God. You are on a spiritual journey. You're here today, maybe because of a New Year's resolution, but you're here because of that journey. And the story of the Magi, to me, rather than one of those three sermons I mentioned earlier, the sermon here is about what a spiritual journey is, because the Magi, they're on a physical journey from one place in Persia to Israel, from Tehran to Jerusalem. They're moving through space. But there's also, I think, in their lives and in what we read, a journey, a pattern for what it looks like for us to be people with whom God is up to something, people who are on a spiritual journey. And I'm going to try to give you, based on the story, a map, because I have found that when I'm on a journey, if I don't have a map, it's stressful. There is anxiety if you don't know where you are. You might be on the right path, you might not be. And especially as we begin a new year, it is a reflective time where we think about that journey, and maybe some of you don't know where you are. You're like David Byrne, how did I get here? But you'd like to know where you are and where you're going. So I'm going to name the places on the map that I think come out of this story of these wise men, these people who are traveling and they're on a journey. And the place we begin with is the sign. They see a star. The text says, in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east. There's a sign that gets them started. Something kicks them off on this journey. Maybe that's where you are, the beginning of your journey, your spiritual quest. Something has kicked you off. Something has brought you here. And the thing for the wise men, we tend to paint this with a overly religious veneer, like the wise men were these great spiritual seekers or something. And the fact of the matter is they were just doing their job. It was their job to look at the stars. They were magi, which is where we get the word magic from. Each of these men, their job was to answer the questions of the people or their king about, should we go to war against this other country? Should we plan for a drought? Or will there be a good harvest? Or should we build this tower or undertake this thing? And they would do various things, their magic eight ball or roll the dice, and look at the stars to try to figure out, what should we do? That's their job. They were astrologers. This is uncomfortable for me because I'm one of the kind of people that says, don't read your horoscope, read your Bible, you know? Yet, here they are, just doing their job, looking at the stars, and they see something new. And they interpret it as being a sign that God is up to something and they need to go see what it is. And this is how a spiritual journey always begins. There is something that starts to bug you in the course of your normal everyday life. It probably will not happen in the sweat lodge or the ayahuasca guided trip in Peru or whatever it might be. It usually happens in your ordinary life. In your marriage or with your children or with your health. Sometimes it's just an inner sense that something is not right. I can't tell you how many times over the years I talk to people who after 20 years of not being in church, they are now back because whatever plan they were on has run out of steam. And they're a little bit like Ryan Gosling. Remember him in Crazy Stupid Love, where he's this charming man whose life is working out great. Until he meets Anna Kendrick. Is that right? Do I have the person right? I'm checking with my rom-com fans. But he falls in love, and he is telling her in a moment of vulnerability, I never knew my dad, my mom was vain and difficult, and I'm not happy. This is the sign for him that sends him on his new path. So whether it's getting arrested or whether it's just an inner sense of something not being right, we all have our ace of base moment. Now, that is the third in the ranking of Swedish pop groups. Number one, ABBA, clearly. Two, Roxette. Three, Ace of Base. Eugene thinks I should do a series called The Ace of Grace, using only Ace of Base songs to illustrate God's truth. I haven't done it yet, but I may take him up on it. But in their hit song, I saw the sign and it opened up my eyes. This is the description of what God does. There's something that happens that opens your eyes and you, like the wise men, something has broken in from the ordinary part of your life and you are required then to go. There's a shift that happens. The second part of the journey is the community. Now this goes against, I think, what we often think of about a spiritual journey. It is my journey and I am the main character. Exciting things will happen. Thrills, chills, adventures. And I am the one that's in the driver's seat. But what we find with the wise men is that it's not a solitary journey. There are people all along the way that form a community with them. And if you've been on a spiritual journey, and again, I assume that you have because you're a human being loved by God, there have been people in your life that have been very important, whether it was a coach or whether it was a youth pastor or whether it was your spouse. You know, you weren't religious, but you married somebody that was. You know, Al made the great decision of his life to marry Carol, who was an Episcopalian, which is why he's here. And now, you know, so all these different ways, there's people that come in your life who show you the way, right, Al? And the Magi, they themselves are a community. There's three or more of them. There's plural. And they weren't just themselves with their camels. They were of a social status, and for a long, difficult journey, it wouldn't have just been them. There would be servants and helpers and people to prepare the food and find the lodging and all those sorts of things. They were in a community. When they get to Jerusalem, they don't have the exact coordinates. So they have to start asking the people of that community, where do we find this child? They ask for directions, and the community helps them. They eventually end up with the head of the community, King Herod. Not a big Bible reader, Herod, so he does not know where the Christ child is to be born, but he asks the people who do read the Bible, the scribes and the priests, more parts of his community who consult the scriptures, the text that was developed by that community over centuries. That text is an encapsulation of their community, of our community. And in that text, it says he'll be born in Bethlehem, so that's where they go, and they find the Christ child there. The sign, the community, and then there is the surprise. The Magi knew that a king had been born, so they went to the normal place you look for a king, a pageant. Where all the royal a palace, where all the royal court is with their pageantry. And that's not where Christ was. Indeed, the king didn't even know that a new king had been born and didn't know where to look for this new king. And they find this new king in the humblest of homes with this working class family. What a surprise. And I found this to be the case, that when you're on a spiritual journey, you might think you can see what the ending will be. You have a goal in mind. You think you know where you're headed, finding your best self or whatever it may be. But I have often found that in real life, the place that you find God, or to put it more accurately, the place where God finds you, is the last place you thought you would be found. It is in these surprising places where God turns up. Nadia Boltz-Weber is a Lutheran pastor, but because Lutherans and Episcopalians are such good friends and theological cousins, she works as a regular preacher and person involved with the Episcopal Cathedral in Denver, Colorado. But her main ministry these days, after years in parish ministry and church planting, is in prison. She regularly is at a women's prison, teaching, preaching, serving, baptizing, and just being the pastor for that community of incarcerated women. And all of them in that little community that she leads did not think that they would find God in prison. But they did. That was the surprise to them. And you have probably found God in surprising places yourself, places in your life that you thought were not the God places. God is supposed to be on retreats, and God is supposed to be in church, and God is here, because God is everywhere. But I find the places where God shows up, like for the wise men, are the places that surprise us. So, where are you? Are you seeing a sign? Something bugging you that has got you to church, or just is this little feeling, a burr under the saddle, a bee in the bonnet, or maybe something that is actively, chaotically falling apart in your life, or just some big transition. This is God giving you a sign. And this sort of launches you on your path. And there will be a community. And I don't know what that community looks like for you. Maybe you found it. And maybe it's a small group here at this church. Maybe it's the people in this room. Maybe it's a close friend. Maybe it's your therapist. Maybe it's the online community that you're part of. I don't know. But there are probably going to be people around you, if not already, in your journey. And this is good territory. There are many people that think a spiritual quest is a solo adventure. But as I said, it's not. It wasn't for Jesus. When he begins his ministry, he goes into the desert. Sounds like a solo experience. But the Gospels are clear to tell us that Not only are the angels comforting him, the wild beasts are there too. He's in a community with his creation and with angels. So even if you don't see your community, they are with you. There are then the surprises that we find, where we find God. For many of you, the surprise is that you're in an Episcopal church. Who ever thought in a mainline denomination? You know, there you grew up, washed in the blood of the Lamb, shaking a tambourine, or whatever it was, whatever your spiritual community, and lo and behold, here you are in this place. Maybe the surprise is the huge mistake that you've made, and yet through that, you began to, as you unraveled, you began to find out what is really true and real in life, and that's where you found God. I don't know where you are, whether you're at the sign, in the middle of the journey with your community, or maybe you have sort of found yourself with the surprise at the end. And by the way, you can be in all three at all times, and you will repeat all the stages throughout your life. This is the way God works. And so I wanted to give you this map. Now, Travis Scott, the musician and rapper, in his album Hyena, the opening track is Hyena, and it's how he opened his show. And in that song, he says, "I told the preacher never finish. Now, I did not take his advice. I will wrap this up and land this plane. But there's just one last thing I want to say, which is about Alan Graham." And this is somebody who I think illustrates this path that I've been talking about. Alan Graham is a very successful businessman in Austin. He grew up in Houston with a mother who had severe challenges with mental health. And he, as he grew up, ended up being the person caring for her for the most part, which is a difficult place to be if you've ever known a parent and a child who've had to reverse their roles. And that's how he grew up. And she ultimately ended up in an institution for the rest of her life. He, working through these very difficult circumstances, was able, through his scrappy stick-to-itiveness, to become a successful real estate investor and businessman in Austin. And this is where the sign began for him, because he was looking for something that actually would have meaning in his life. Now, that's not to say that business and real estate is not meaningful. I'm glad for people that are in those in every career. But for him, there began to be a spiritual gnawing inside, a desire for something more. And somebody he knew invited him to a men's retreat at church. So the sign has begun. And now the community begins to come around him, to his surprise. And he said, "Had I known that men were going to hold hands and pray, and God forbid do that bromance hug it out thing that we did, I would never have gone. But there was an extraordinary feeling of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and I was jazzed to the hilt." So he had this spiritual awakening among this community after he'd been sort of kicked in the seat of the pants by this sign. And he has this religious awakening, and he starts serving every week at a homeless community, and he's giving, distributing lunch to homeless Austinites. And then he's at a friend's property and sees an RV, and as he's beginning to get to know these Austinites, he's like, "That RV, you could live in that." And he has this idea for a community of small homes or RVs, and that now exists in this program that gets national attention. And there's a similar community being started in Waco right now, Creekside Community, of tiny homes for people experiencing homelessness. And my point to you, my New Year's brothers and sisters, is as you at this moment want to double down on the self-directed guide to improvement and the pulling oneself up by bootstraps or making resolutions, my point to you is that Alan Graham was someone on a spiritual journey that he did not look for and did not change his life by his own sort of resolutions to do so. He got, as I said, bitten by this bug, this sign, that he just wasn't happy. He ends up with a community, and where to his great surprise, he finds God, or God finds him. And that begins to set the wheels in motion to something that has now transformed his community and the lives of others. And I don't say this to you to give you an easy three-step plan to end homelessness or whatever other social ill or fix all your problems. I lay this out for you so that you have a map, because God is at work in your life. Many people think you have to go find God. My point to you today is he has already found you. The fact that you're here indicates maybe he's already started to nudge, to elbow, to gently kind of poke you, to wake you up, and then to put a community of people around you where, to your great surprise, you will find that God has been with you all along in the most unexpected places, like this altar, where in the simplest thing, bread and wine, you will hear that God has given himself for you and now gives himself food for the journey, food for this path where you are. And if you forget that you're on this journey, and if you forget that God has forgiven you and loved you and is with you even now to guide you on this path, do two things. Listen to the Ace of Base, but more than that, come to this table again and again, because we will always remind you that God has given you a sign, and God has given you a community, and God, in the most surprising way, has given you the sustenance, the nourishment, and his presence for this path. Let's pray. Dear God, in this new year, as we're on this path, give us the signs that we need, the community that will support us, and the surprise of your presence and grace and help and healing. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.